Spiegel and Holmes.
Okay, here we go, sports fans.
Afternoons on The Score.
And your coach allowed all of us to go back to wondering on whether or not he's qualified to be a head coach in the NFL.
Meaning what?
There have been too many times that we have been able to look and go, that's really weird. He's in year three.
I feel like we could have possibly took a timeout or something to kind of get everybody situated, figure out who we're going to box out, kind of get everybody calmed down and just ready for that last play.
What's that?
I had a discussion with Flus about it. Me personally, I think that had the corners pressed up there, maybe they convert to verticals and they actually run the Hail Mary. I'm not saying he doesn't have the arm strength, but you think about the ball maybe landing 10 yards shorter. He made the call, and, you know, that's what it was.
It was a good call by the whoever this coordinator was. That would be me.
Throughout the week of practice this past week, where there's moments where maybe some guys lay off here and there, and I would also say beauty of this game is that, you know, you disrespect it in a certain way, and it'll come to haunt you in some form or fashion.
Meaning what? Our culture is awesome.
Please disperse. Nothing to see here, please.
The official adventures of
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score.
We are glad that you are hanging out here with us. Hopefully you have had a wonderful day. Hopefully you went out and enjoyed all of the sunshine that we had today and the 80-degree weather at the end of October.
I'm telling you, there's going to be another random 80-degree day in November. And there's going to be one in December. It's just going to keep going. It's going to keep happening. And we're going to keep saying, wow, can you believe this? Well, global warming. Oh, hey, but it's good for us. Hey, it feels nice. It just has that feeling.
I mean, it is weird. Like, I'm leaving for Arizona to go cover the Bears-Cardinals game. And I was looking at the forecast, and the weather in AZ is going to be worse than it is going to be here.
That's crazy. That's bananas.
Although it will be sunny most of the time that I'm there.
Gonna, like, go cover the Bears Cardinals? You going to the game?
I think so. I hope I'm credentialed. I did all the things that you need to do. You gotta do all sorts of stuff now, Speaks, like headshots and agreeing to bio levels and all sorts of other stuff. Yeah, there's like biotech that goes with your credential now.
Really?
Yeah.
Biotech, like, what, do they check your eyes or something?
Yeah, I think so.
Thumbprints?
Yeah, I think that they're doing, like, all of the Mission Impossible stuff, but it was a lot harder than, hey, can I go cover the game? And, oh, yeah, we'll get you a credential. It's a lot more involved than that now.
I understand this texter from earlier who said, guys, you've griped about this game for 40 hours. Can you move the chains? Let's talk about how we beat Arizona. I understand that person's perspective, but the answer is no.
We're not the football team. The football team has to let it go and start thinking about how they beat Arizona. And don't worry, we're going to cover them getting ready for the Cardinals as the week goes on. But if you think that this, what happened on Sunday, if you think that it's no longer relevant, you're wrong.
Oh, no, it's not that it's no longer. It's just, it's painful and it sucks. But it's certainly absolutely relevant. But that texter needs to understand. We turn the page on Wednesdays at 3 p.m., people. That's well established.
That has been established.
That is extremely well established. So that tomorrow we'll start getting into the Arizona game in detail. But for right now, there's stuff from Sunday we haven't even touched. Like, I don't know, the franchise quarterback.
It's interesting to me that what we usually do, and I think it's with purpose. I think it's everyone does it, and it's a good thing, is we look at Caleb first and say, hey, man, what's going on with him? How is he improving? Is the improvement linear? Has he gotten better game to game? Well, what things did he do wrong in the early games of the season that now he's doing right? And usually we have an opportunity to break off. That's usually the most important thing.
Yeah.
After game. When we walk in here on Monday, everyone has thoughts on how good Caleb was or what things he could improve on.
Yeah, and usually in this spot, Tuesday at 5, we do the special and document where Caleb has unleashed and shown you the special. We're going to do that later in the hour because we got to cover something else first. You might remember in Hard Knocks when Caleb was asked, who's the player that's with him? Do you guys remember who the player that's with him is. I can't remember, but some player's with him, and it's before the preseason debut, and they're asking him about nerves, and this is what Caleb Williams said.
Well, your nervous level, nervous energy gets to, like, scale of 1 to 10.
Zero. I don't get nervous. Not since my first game of high school versus Gilman. I fumbled 2 snaps. Other than that, and I came back and threw like an out and up down the sideline. Other than that, play ball.
I don't get nervous. That's what Caleb Williams said. And God.
To Kerry Joseph.
Kerry Joseph. Oh, thank you so much. So it's the quarterback coach, Kerry Joseph. I don't get nervous. Ooh, that's something. And he was on with me and Mark Grody a week or two later, and I asked him, wow, how does that happen? Let's talk about that. How is it that you don't get nervous?
I think that's another thing that comes from the belief in the hard work that I've put in, whether it's mental, you know, and studying the plays, studying the other team, whether it's physical and my belief of when I go out there, you know, that, you know, I'm physically matched up well versus other, you know, the versus defense. And then, I also put myself in different positions mentally, you know, that if situations pop up that I haven't physically practiced, you know, that I, you know, mentally at least I've hopefully gone over and things like that.
So that's Caleb talking about how he doesn't get nervous. And then as we're watching the game, Shane was texting the group. I think it was right after this sequence, a second down and a third down, where Tony Romo and Jim Nance got to talking after some bad throws.
So they're rushing four. They collapse on Williams, who's able to get away, rolls out, goes across his body for more, and it's incomplete. And fourth and 20 and a punt on the way for Chicago.
These two quarterbacks really help change the culture and expectations for all the fans and people associated with their teams. And these are the situations that was just nerves. Start of games, you have that, especially in a game that you know is a big one.
So, nerves. There it is. He's human, right? Everybody gets nervous.
Well, he said that he wasn't nervous, and we can play around with that word.
He said he doesn't get it.
We can get into semantics if we want to. About it, because he spoke even after the game about it. But I think that there is a projection that every quarterback tries to make, especially when you're the guy, when you're coming in and you're being the guy and you're being scrutinized and you've got a bunch of veterans on your team, you're trying desperately to look the part.
Absolutely. And I understand that, but let's back up and just—I mean, Shane, you thought he looked nervous, right? As you were watching that game, I thought he looked nervous.
How can you not think he looked nervous?
I thought he looked unsteady and unstable. There were moments where I was like, "What's going on with him?" Including here, where he slid short of a first down marker. Remember this moment in the second game?
Williams, here comes the heat. Able to drift away for a moment. Look at him weave his way, but comes up a yard short.
I think he was just discombobulated enough to not understand where the marker was. So you run around that much, you'll see him just... Ugh.
That was the moment where I wrote it down. I'm like, wow. I find myself questioning his awareness and his comfort for like the first time. For maybe the first time all year.
They had him on the run a little bit, and you're going, well, the marker, you've got to know where that first down marker is, and you gave up on the play too early.
And he copped to it after the game. He said, yeah, I got to know where it is. I just had flipped around and doing all my running around, and I just, but it was like, so it was the combination of a bunch of different throws, and then that moment, and the one that you and I thought was most egregious in the, it was early, I think, third quarter, where Keenan Allen is on the sideline and is wide open with space in front of him.
On third and 12, Williams pass out of reach for Keenan Allen. And they will punt.
Just throws it a little high, gets the pressure from behind, so the ball's got to come out right before he gets hit, but the ball just sails on him a little bit. Allen reroutes, restacks, and then boom, gets him right there. That ball softly could have been in, or he could have thrown it. To me, you throw that on a line because the defender's not looking at you. You could have thrown it right over his ear.
That was very generous of Tony Romo.
Yeah, it was. And Kurt Warner was generous about it with us yesterday, too. That was like 5 yards over Keenan Allen's head.
Yeah, there was no chance for Keenan Allen to make that catch.
So I'm not here to rip Caleb and say, what the hell? I'm here to echo. Shane put it in the text thread and said, but I don't get nervous. And it's been echoing through our heads. Because, of course, you get nervous, man. People get nervous. Bill Russell threw up before almost every game of his NBA career. It's okay to admit that you are human and you get nervous. I think that was a moment where Caleb was trying to do too much. And like you said, Lawrence, you're trying to project that you are that dude and you are the quarterback. You're the man and you can handle it. And there's a very presentational side to what he does and says at the podium and otherwise. And I get it. And you're young. You're young. What was he, 22 years old?
22 years
old. 22 years old. He's trying to show the world and show his adult teammates that he's the man and he's doing a great job of it. But saying I don't get nervous is going to, it's saying a little too much.
Here's what I think is really interesting about this, just from the human element. I don't know if there is ever in the history of the league been a rookie quarterback who has been more vulnerable talking about more subjects as well as Caleb Williams has done in the last 4 months. That he has been the guy that has talked about all sorts of different things. He can walk you through different moments of what he was feeling, how he feels about certain issues, the way that he's able to put himself out there to be an advocate in a lot of different situations. I think that it's so interesting that that's the one thing that he's not going to budge on. That's the one thing where he's like, no, I'm Superman. No, I don't get nervous. Like, there are a lot of things that I am, but one of the things that I'm not is not nervous. That's fascinating to me that he's willing to bring you in so far on so many different things, but he's not giving up that.
He's not giving up that he gets nervous. Okay. I think you can give that up. I think you can.
I think so too.
Yeah, I think you can talk about it and you can own it. And it's not even, it's like, I can't imagine the pressure of being a 22-year-old and having to feel like you have to portray everything a certain way. Like, I look back at, there's video out there of like me in my 20s and I was like so freaking arrogant and thought I knew everything and thought I was like, I was pompous. I mean, not like now.
So you decided to go into sports radio. Okay.
So where does it come from then? Because Carl Williams, by all accounts, is a good sports dad. Carl Williams does not seem to have pressured Caleb into anything.
Not one
bit. He's not a LaVar Ball sports dad. He's not one of those guys. Is this the LA culture? Is this a Gen Zer coming up in the NIL culture? Is this the just being a USC quarterback and having a Miami penthouse and you have to act cool all the time? Yeah, where does it come from?
It's a good question. I think it's before all of that.
I think it's quarterback culture.
Yeah, you think it's quarterback culture and growing up? Like, you're 14 and you're 15 and you're learning what you're supposed to be and what you're supposed to portray as the man and as the dude,
You're supposed to be the one with all the answers. You're a leader, even though you're in an offense with guys that have gone to Pro Bowls. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like,
but you're the person that's supposed to lead. So there is an element of him having to work through that and mm-hmm. show strength and show leadership. And I think that he's done that for the most part really well, that he's handled it in a mature way that a lot of other quarterbacks, some that have been benched this week, don't. Like, I think that he has handled that.
He's been unbelievable. I mean, like, even in the post game, there's an answer about the offensive line and all the problems in the post game. And he said nothing but the right things in terms of encouraging his guys, being knowledgeable that he has to do that. There hasn't been a misstep. I'm not bagging him on him. I'm just fascinated by the humanity. And I guess, like you're putting it, Lawrence, the desire to not let people in on just that one extra level. It has the "methinks the lady doth protest too much" kind of vibe to it.
Yeah, it's very possible that that's what's going on. It's just quarterbacks are put in such a really weird position, and not everyone can lead. I think Caleb is more than capable,
mm-hmm.
from what we've seen of being a leader. That spot, man, it where you have to kind of have armor, and you don't want to throw your offense under the bus, and you don't want to throw your coordinator under the bus. That's why what happened with Justin last year was such a big deal. And I'm not sure that people even got that part right, where things are so bad, I have to call out for help publicly on some of this.
Mm-hmm.
And for Caleb to be able to keep it in house, it's interesting. It's also there are some people who subscribe to the theory of, if you feel like you're completely prepared, then there's nothing to get nervous about. But I think that there are so many examples of musicians or athletes or actors, performers of any type, that even with their preparation, know that there are nerves that happen before you do the thing you're going to do.
As a singer, I can tell you that I love those nerves. I've come to understand and want them to come and need them. Like, oh yeah, there they are. All right, good. That means I'm excited. You know what I mean? So it depends on how you're wired. A bunch of texters are also wondering if it's more of a semantics issue here. Nervous versus pressing, or nervous versus overexcited. Right, and hyped in that way. And that's certainly a viable question, because you can be pressing, you know, with a big situation that's not necessarily nervous. And you can also, like Pavement said on Wowie Zowie, get rattled by the rush. You can get rattled by the rush, and it happens to everybody. Pressure bursts pipes, right?
Well, there's also extra stuff here. This wasn't a normal game. And he spent the week trying to, I think fairly successfully, downplay the importance to him. There's also the idea of the quarterback's not supposed to put himself ahead of the team. That it's not, this isn't Caleb versus Jaden. This is the Bears versus Washington. They pay me to win games on Sunday and Thursday and on Monday. That's one of the things that he talked about. But you would imagine, with going home to whatever extent he feels connected to home, and considering what he called the football team, I would expect that there is a bigger connection than what he let on. Him going back there, him playing against the guy that some people said were better than him.
Yeah, well, here he is after the game talking about tuning out all that stuff and whether it got to him or not.
I think I did a pretty good job tuning it out. Emotion-wise, just another football game. Did my best to try and go out there and win the game, and win the game at the end, and then come out with the win.
He did try to win the game at the end, and he played his ass off in the fourth quarter.
He was great. He threw for 100 yards in the fourth quarter?
Yeah,
we're
still going to do the special in our next segment, because there was some incredible special from Caleb Williams late in that game. And there's also something that Jaden Daniels has that Caleb doesn't have, because very, very few people in the universe have it. So we should talk about both of those things.
So why don't we take a break and we can get into it. We can show you the things that he did really well inside of the game, you know, before we turn the page tomorrow.
Yeah.
Because we don't turn the page until tomorrow. That's up next here on The Score. We like to do this every Tuesday. If there's some special stuff that Caleb Williams does,
I hope you have an open for that actually involves music from the specials.
Well, I think Caleb is still trying to find his way in this league. We know he's going to be a superstar.
I expect him to lean on the talent around him.
Now looking for a downfield shot, and that's what you just talked about. He takes the profit and gets
first down on second down and short and moves it to the 40 of LA.
Now I'm going to do whatever I need to do for my team to win. Now that's handing the ball off, leaning on my guys. If that's dropping back, throwing the ball 30 times, that's doing that.
I mean, you got to feel like a proud father. Your kid's just growing up right before your eyes.
And then when the time is right, and that's an instinctual thing, and I think that plays right into him.
Not trying to do anything special. And then, you know, when those moments happen, when those moments come up,
that's when you do the special.
You know, it's time to be special.
Williams gets hit by Burse, stays up on the move.
Got him.
And he connects with Swift, who dives ahead near the sticks. They'll mark him out of bounds to stop the clock with 32 seconds left, and it's good enough for a first down, seemingly.
Caleb somehow slips out of the tackle. He had Swift early and ends up finding him late.
All the special things is naturally going to come out when you're the number one pick.
You're the one the prophecy spoke of. You're the special.
The special.
Let's get into it. Let's find out, since we were talking the last segment about nerves and nervousness from Caleb, why don't we talk about some of the things that he got more than right inside of this comeback that fell two plays short.
You saw it, Lawrence, and you talked about, what was it, 100 yards in the fourth quarter?
It's pretty impressive, considering the way that the game had gone. It really did feel like to me that the DeAndre Swift touchdown did something to them.
It totally woke them up, and it got Swift going, and then there were some inside runs after that where Swift ran really hard, and they blocked up some of the inside runs very well.
And that's what I was talking about yesterday when we were talking about Karan Amagaji. If you look on the Swift touchdown, two blocks to spring him for that touchdown.
Yeah, run. For sure. And then so they got in a rhythm, and Caleb got in a rhythm. And I thought this pass to DJ Moore on the goal line from deep really set them up and was an incredible throw.
Second and 12. Comes a blitz with Wagner. Pass is a floater. And it is a completion.
This is incredible. What a throw. Free rusher. Swift decides not to block.
Moore shaken up on the catch for 29 yards.
This throw was under incredible duress.
How about Caleb hanging in there?
This is a free rusher, so he sees him coming, exposing your body, and still getting that ball out there in between two defenders, Jim, the corner and safety and cover two. That could be an interception or it could win you a game, and they have a chance.
You remember the Monday nighter when Jaden Daniels threw it up to Terry McLaurin as he was about to get hit against the Bengals? And we were in the text thread, and you said, Caleb hasn't made that throw yet. This throw right there with Bobby Wagner about to destroy him on a clear blitz, unblocked, was an absolutely perfect throw to the 3-yard line to DJ Moore.
Yeah, seeing him be able to be willing to make that play.
Yes, sir.
Because there's a lot of courage that comes with making a throw like that.
Stepping into it as the blitzer is in your face.
And you kind of know, like, man, I'm going to get one here.
Yep.
It better be worth it.
And it was worth it. It was an exquisite throw and a great catch, and DJ got hurt. And it should have been a touchdown drive, but then Doug Kramer happened. And then a little bit later in the fourth quarter, this one looked a lot like the special play to Cole Kmet against Jacksonville in England, where he ends up scrambling to the right and looking like he's just going to run and get out of bounds and sees someone come open. This time it's Keenan Allen, and instead of the jumping rifle throw to Kmet, it's a beautifully lofted touch throw to Keenan Allen.
Here's a bootleg. Williams able to get around Armstrong. Now throws it across his body. Look at that throw. Keenan Allen to the 18-yard line. The improvisational skills of Caleb Williams on full display.
Oh, my gosh. Right here. Pause this. At this point, Keenan Allen is right here. There's nobody open. And Caleb Williams makes something work from nothing, and that is a veteran presence who is supposed to chip and block. He didn't even have a route. He's supposed to go up there, chip, 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 and then turn around. Just instincts.
Now, I got to say, as that's happening,
yeah,
I don't want him to throw the ball, because that is everything that quarterbacks are taught not to do. You're drifting. The defense is drifting with you. You're almost never supposed to make that throw back over the center of the field.
It wasn't too much back towards the middle across the body. I know. It's kind of throw the Jordan Love through against Cowboys that got picked last year in the playoffs. This was a little bit further down the field, but his vision was awesome, and he lofted it just perfectly to where only Keenan could get it.
It was incredible touch that was put on that pass, which is another reason why you're sitting there going, oh, no, the ball's hanging up in the air too long.
Because it wasn't rifled, man.
There's going to be a guy that's going to run underneath that. I thought that he did a great, like, on that play, I would love to have been in the room with them as they watched it as an offense, because I felt like he drifted so far that he had maybe dragged the defense out of their responsibilities enough to make that throw. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like he had gotten them all out of sorts, where guys were like, I'm out of my gap. You know what I mean? Because they're making their way across the field.
Absolutely. And this is the stuff that everybody talks about. Cliff Kingsbury last week, you know, making the Pat Mahomes comp himself. And he's the one who coached Mahomes at Texas Tech. And then Caleb at USC. And so this is the stuff that we've dreamed of seeing that stuff on the move and finding a way to make it complete. Look, I think it's incredibly special that he was able to bounce back after a brutal first three quarters and change to then be as excellent as he was towards the end. And it's part of why it's such a crime that they lost the game, because he should have been able to take that feeling along with a win. But I thought it was incredibly special. In general, he's able to do that, and he showed it on several different throws. Those two may be the highlight of it all. I am selling 0% of my stock in Caleb Williams.
Zero?
0% of my stock in Caleb Williams. Feeling very confident and very good about what Caleb Williams is going to be in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, I know the NFL fade route is perfunctory. A lot of people look at it as a throw that should be made by most quarterbacks. Being able to do it consistently is a big deal to me. And even like the throw to Keenan Allen, like that, like even on like him getting the PI call, I thought that throw was in like a great spot.
I thought that was going to be a touchdown. I disagreed. Romo said it wasn't going to be caught. He was wrong.
It was totally going to be caught.
It was 100% going to be caught.
Because that ball lands before the end line, and if he doesn't get snatched, he's 6'3". He's going to make that catch.
And that was fourth down. It was fourth down after the two quarterback draws. So, yeah, I thought he was really, really good in that fourth quarter and extremely special. I got to say, though, Jaden Daniels has something that Caleb doesn't.
Hold on a second. Are we now doing the special for Jaden Daniels, too?
It's just one little thing.
Is this the hop, skip, and a jump?
It's got hop, skip, and a jump where Tony Romo calls it before it even happens, just knowing full well that a first down was inevitable.
Third and three. Here comes the pressure again. Escapes.
That's a first down.
And well, tiptoed at the end, and I think he got it with that last wiggle. Past the sticks. First down, Washington.
You cannot let him get outside the pocket. He's as dangerous as anybody ever outside, and puts a little stiff arm and then just reaches that ball to ensure the first down.
Just got to acknowledge how absurd he is. And Romo says, oh, yeah, that's a first down. It's way before he makes like two moves and gives that little extra wiggle to get the first down.
I did think that Romo lent into a little bit of hyperbole when he was like, this guy is already like a top five runner of all time. And I'm like, or a top 10 runner of all. I was like, come on, fam. Like,
he's not the only one saying that.
I know, but that's a little much.
What it is the combination. Look, Jaden's really good.
But he was talking specifically about being a runner. And I'm like, we can get to 10 pretty easily. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know. He's pretty damn good, man.
Because I don't think he... All I'm saying is that you saw a guy here that's not even a starting quarterback anymore that was a really beautiful runner. And I know it's different because Justin would dip his shoulder if he had to, but he would also run away from people.
Yeah.
And there is Lamar Jackson, and Steve Young exists, and Randall Cunningham. You know what I mean?
Like, I do.
So to already be on that list.
You're a hater. You're a Jaden Daniels hater.
There is no world in which you can say someone who's played in 8 NFL games is one of the top 10 running quarterbacks of all time. Like, full stop right there.
Thank you, Shane.
Can I say full that?
Stop you said right that there. A lot more elegantly now, than I did.
Josh Allen's a better runner than Jaden Daniels is right now.
Jalen Hurt, like, there are guys that are in the league right now.
Byron
really Leftwich
was a better runner.
No, he wasn't.
Donovan McNabb is a better runner than
he was.
Michael Vick, who you guys didn't even mention.
Yeah.
You see what I mean about how we could get to 10 pretty quickly?
Mitchell Trubisky was an incredible runner.
Mark Brunell has entered the chat. Mark Brunell would like a word.
Archie Manning has entered the chat.
Fran
Steve McNair.
See what I mean?
That's what I meant.
But we're putting Jaden Daniels up there after 8 games.
We've already gotten to 10, and this is just off the top of our head.
Bunch of haters.
I don't even know if we even got all top 10 rushing guys on the list of guys.
Aaron Rodgers.
Early Aaron Rodgers.
Now it's good to have fun with names.
I agree with that, Pat. I definitely agree with that. It's nice to hear a lot of names. I've enjoyed all the names that we've heard. Okay, fine.
Geno Smith.
No.
John Elway.
Oh, yeah, he was pretty good. He was pretty good.
I'm trying to think of others.
Russell Wilson. Mm-hmm. Cordell Stewart.
Russell Wilson looked like an all-pro. I remember that.
He looked really good last night.
Yeah, he did, didn't he?
He did.
He did. And you were a hater on Russell Wilson 2 weeks ago.
I was.
Yeah. And now you're...
Now he's going to have another baby.
What, because of last night?
No, Sierra was like, hey, we can call it Cinco. Wow. Let's get another kid up in here.
That's too many
Talk
kids.
About efficiency rating. Guy started having sex like 6 years ago, and how many kids does he have right now?
Can I throw another name out there?
Sure.
For early babies or
for rushing quarterbacks?
Antonio Cromartie. Oh, that's not what we're doing. I'm sorry.
Colin Kaepernick.
Oh, yeah, he was good.
Good at that. Go look at what he did in the Super Bowl. Go look what he did up against Green Bay game.
I'm not going to blame you, Speaks. It's Tony Romo being an idiot because mm-hmm. Tony Romo is an idiot, and I'm tired of his stupid shtick.
RG3. Like, fine. But
put it all out there.
See what I mean, though, yeah. Shane? How many is that now? We've done like 15. 20.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Dan Pastorini.
Yes?
No. I was kidding on that one.
Alex Smith.
He was pretty good.
Yes.
I don't think he's better than Jaden is right now.
It was his whole thing.
We'll see if Jaden's shins hold up.
How about Cam Newton? Cam Newton, any good?
That works.
Yeah. Yeah, you got one there.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Shane, you are correct. The idea.
You guys.
The idea that he's already top 10. Lamar Jackson is out here winning MVPs. Okay, so there. I just had to bring that up because it bothered me.
I understand.
I'm sitting there and I'm like, no, you don't have to go that far. You could just say he's really good at doing that. You don't have to put a list together of top 10 rushers of all time at the quarterback position.
Bernie Kosar was really fleet of foot. All right, he wasn't. Now I'm just hating.
Now
hating on you guys.
Now you're just doing stuff.
I am doing stuff.
I'm hating on late nights.
I hate you for that. That's also excellent. I saw Espo yesterday.
He's just on the hall right now.
Yeah, he's a good man.
Oh, Espo. Espo is trying to find a way to get to Japan with the Cubs in March. He's trying to find a way.
Start a GoFundMe.
He should, actually.
Seems to work at all.
Yes.
I want to go too. How big can we make that Cubs broadcast booth? Anybody who has worked at all in the Cubs broadcast booth over the last 2 years needs to be a part of it for Japan. That's what I'm trying to make happen.
Wait, I'm on that list.
Yeah, did you do it?
I did a fill-in.
You did a pre-post, right?
Yeah.
All right, but you're in.
All right.
Let's go.
I'm going to Japan. when we come back, I got something for you.
All right, good.
I got something that I feel like you can enjoy both from a baseball standpoint and from a cultural reference standpoint. That's next here on The Score.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on The Score.
Man, when we take a look at the NFC North tomorrow,
oh boy,
there are some things to add to that conversation. They might have a little problem up there in Detroit.
Or not. Depends on which cops get found. We'll get there tomorrow at 3 o'clock. We will turn the page.
Wait, what?
Oh, hi, Robbie.
How are you? That's right.
Lions
Everybody
fan.
From the 313, uh-huh. Put your hands up and... Yeah, there's a whole thing with Jameson Williams. He has hit the trifecta, sir.
He really has. You got the you got the performance enhancing drugs. You had the gambling last year. Now you have a gun in the car without a concealed pistol license. That's from 2 weeks ago.
But he's fine, though, because he wasn't arrested.
He's fine because...
And now there's going to be a cop that's going to be investigated because he didn't arrest him.
There's a sergeant who showed up, and body cam footage said the cop had a Lions logo on his phone as the wallpaper.
Committed to his team?
That's
a pro.
He made a bunch of phone calls and made sure that Jameson Williams wouldn't get arrested.
The thing I was telling Speaks is, like, this is the exact... Like, on the spectrum, this is the exact opposite reaction to what happened to Tyreek Hill.
It really is.
Tyreek Hill was literally on his way to the game. Didn't have a gun in the car.
Jameson was on his way to the police station, and the cop got a phone call back, and he's quoted as saying, "Oh, so he doesn't have to go in? You're an effing hero, man. Good job." That's what the sergeant said. So Jameson got away with having no concealed pistol license.
I love my city. Oh, my God. Shout out Detroit, man.
The best thing for your city, by the way, is he was asked, why do you need to have a gun? He's like, bro, don't you see where I live? I live in Detroit.
Okay, that's some saving grace besides of Aiden Hutchinson's leg just dangling in half. Yeah. All right. Shout out Jameson Williams.
Everything's got to be
roll tight. All right. So look, I found a confluence that I think you, sir, will enjoy.
All right. Hit me.
It's baseball. It's pop culture. And it's relevant to the World Series.
Okay. Got the Dodgers and the Yankees.
We'll stop with the Yankees.
Oh, okay. Just the Dodgers.
But we can talk about the Dodgers here. I ran across a clip of the show Chips. Speaking of police interaction with athletes, where Tommy Lasorda gets pulled over by Ponch and his new partner that don't know he's Tommy Lasorda.
Officer, I know I was speeding, but I'm in a hurry. I'm late for the World Series.
May I see your license, sir?
Look, I left them at home. Look, I'm Tommy Lasorda. I'm late for the World Series.
Would you step out of the car, sir?
Officer, I've got to get to the stadium.
Please step out of the car, sir.
Hello, partner. Can we talk?
I got it, Ponch. Do you have registration for this vehicle, sir?
Look, this isn't my car. I had an accident and I borrowed a friend's. Look, why do I feel like a criminal when I'm telling you this? I'm Tommy Lasorda. Haven't you seen my commercials?
Something wrong, partner? This guy doesn't have a license or vehicle registration. And he claims to be someone named Lasagna.
Lasorda.
Maybe your name's on the back of your uniform, Mr. Lasorda.
Sure it is.
That says Valenzuela.
What? Valenzuela? Hey, wait a minute. That's Jerry Royce. That's his idea of a joke. Listen, I'm Tommy Lasorda. I'm manager of the world champion Los Angeles Dodgers. You know me, don't you?
Yes, sir, Mr. Lasorda, I do. And I think you're a great manager. But we're still going to have to cite you.
Hey, fair is fair, but could you hurry, please?
Mr. Lasorda, since my partner vouches for you as a special service to a world champion, I am going to write it fast.
Hey, you're a sweetheart.
Oh, my God. The timing of you bringing Lasorda on Chips. Don't you know who I am? After Jameson Williams said to the cops, bro, I'm Jameson Williams. I play for the Lions. Bro. These two stories are just perfect together. That wasn't John. That's Ponch.
Yeah, I don't know which part. That's a new partner. That wasn't because John would have known who Tommy Lasorda was.
I have vague memories of him leaving. The other partner left to.
No, there were two. I think there were two different partners that he ended up having.
That Eric Estrada ended up having? So it was Ponch. Who was John 2? Electric Boogaloo? I mean, who was the second John?
All right, now I got to look it up.
Jack? Ponch and Jack? Or Jan? It was a Swedish guy. It was Ponch and Jan. So they could keep it going like that. That's awesome. And Tommy wearing the Fernando Valenzuela jacket. Damn you, Jerry Royce. It's unbelievable. A Jerry Royce reference on a Tuesday here in Chicago.
I just love it, too.
Former White Sox player, Jerry Royce.
I love it, too, because it also ties the Fernando Valenzuela thing in
it
nicely.
Does.
Fernando's birthday, I think, is Thursday.
That is nice. And that,
so if they win tonight, you get to have the parade on Fernando's birthday.
That's pretty cool. And the fact that Fernando could fit into Tommy Lasorda's jacket and vice versa is quite something. That's a lovely thing.
Why didn't Tommy just tell him he's a Hall of Fame baseball person?
He wasn't drunk enough.
He should have been.
That's the problem.
That's how you get off on that.
Oh,
stuff.
Oh, that's right. There was okay. So there was office. This was. I think this was Officer Bobby.
Oh, Bobby.
Yeah, I think this was Bobby Hot Dog Nelson.
Oh boy,
my guy.
And then there was Officer Bruce Nelson too.
Oh, they're related. Ah, Bobby's got to go. His brother Bruce is here. That's because Bobby got some better job as an actor, probably, is how that worked.
You can never get a better job than being on Chips.
I miss the days when we could laugh at Tony La Russa's drunk driving. I miss the days when we could laugh at that.
Who told us to stop?
The 78.
That's a wrap.
Yeah, Jerry. Jerry told us to stop.
I'm so afraid of Jerry Reinsdorf. The amount of crap we've talked about the White Sox on this station in the last 3 years, four years, we're afraid of Jerry Reinsdorf now.
New manager's coming. As soon as the World Series is over, the announcement will come.
A lot of people that are seemingly bowing out because they know that they're getting ready to hire someone or maybe because they didn't like what they saw when they popped the hood on this thing.
Probably the latter, Lawrence.
Yeah, it could be. Could be. Will Venable, the Princeton product, longtime guy, one of the front runners.
I have not. Opted out of the White Sox managerial
job
not?
Yet. That's
not
good.
Yet. I'm not saying that I won't.
You know, I'd back you and Willie Harris.
That'd be a good combo.
I think I can handle it.
Good combo right there. You sure you want that job?
No, I don't.
What would your culture be?
It's different than what it is. Can you give me great players? Because that would be awesome.
No, it's one thing they can't give you.
Then I'm out.
You got one who, when he decides to be great, is great. And that's it. That's all we can give you.
Yeah.
Michael Kopech with an opportunity to get a World Series ring tonight.
Good. So happy for him.
Did give up a home run, though, which made me laugh because I was thinking, yep, AJ would be on that 97-mile-per-hour meatball that you threw over the middle of the plate.
All right, so I'm just trying to recap. So later in the week, you're going to be named manager of the White Sox. Do I have that right?
I believe that's what's happening.
And Robbie Triano is going to call the Detroit police and congratulate them for letting Jameson Williams go.
He's going to send them a gift bag.
Right. And Shane is going to dig up the career of his guy, Bobby Hot Dog Turner. His favorite actor from Chips.
Shane has never seen Chips, ever. And that's good that he hasn't. For Robbie, who's in for Tanny today, for Shane, for Spiegs, I'm Lawrence, saying thank you so much for the love that you've shown us. We will try to reciprocate tomorrow at 2. Thank you so much for listening to Spiegel and Holmes here on The Score.
And what do we have here, Bill?
What?